Today's shir is Masechta Chul and Daf Chaf Beis. We will begin Beis or Hashem is Baruch on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. Two lines from the bottom. Relezer Bev Shimon Aymer. Yesterday, in the previous year, we had discussed quite extensively that the Torah uses the word kamishpat when it speaks about the Eilas Oif, meaning whatever is the rule by something else, so too will be the rule here. So we need to know Kamishpat, when the Torah uses that word, what is the to which carbon is the oil of soif being compared to? We saw two different opinions in our previous year. One was that it's being compared to a chatas behema, and one opinion that we saw in our previous year is that it's being compared to the chatas oif. Rabbi Elazar of Shimon Aymer, he says that the mishpat indeed means that kamishpat chatas oif, it should be compared to the halacha of a chatas oif. And what it means to say is malahalan oiches berosh ubeguf. You hold both the head and the body of the bird umazam, and that's how you do the hazos adam. Afkan, so too when it comes to the oilus oif, oiches berosh ubeguf. You hold both of them in the palm of your hand umazam, and that's how you do the hazos adam. Ask the Gemara, my comer, what was meant with that, what we just learned? Hachi Kama. Says the Gemara, what the Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon meant to teach us is Malan Kishoichis Harosh Beguf Mazam. When you're holding the Chatas Oif, you don't take off the head of the Chatas Oif, because you never take off the head of the Chatas Oif, because as we've been learning, when one does malika on a chatas oif, you only do malika on one simen. So obviously, the head and the body are connected when hazor is done. Afkan, also b'ra'ilas oif, kishu'ochis haroish beguf, when the head and the body are still connected, mazam. And this is really the opinion that we learned of Rabbi Elazar of Shimon extensively in our previous shir. Because in the previous year we had a discussion that everybody agrees that when it comes to Eilas Oif, we have to do Malika on both Simonim. But the question was, what does that mean? That we completely sever them or Roiv? And here is the basis of Rabbi Elazar of Shimon's opinion that it's just Roiv. It's not entirely because otherwise, how can we say that the body and the head are touching when we do the Hazar? Says the Gemara, if that's the case, and we're comparing the halacha of the Eilas Soif to the Chatas Soif, suggests the Gemara, maybe, which means Malahal b'Simen Echad, just like there we only detach one Simen, Afkan Simen Echad, here also we only do Malik on one Simen for the Eilas Soif. Tamaloyma says, the Gemara, the Pasuk says, v'krivoy, not the word v'hikrif, to teach us that there's a difference between the chatas oif and the oilas oif. That by the chatas oif, we sever only one simen, and here, that we sever both simonim. So, according to this understanding, according to the Tanakhama, you have to cut both simonim completely. And according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, as we just finished learning, he will say that you only cut roiv of the two simonim. The Tanakhama asked the Gemara, who uses the words umolak v'hikter, that you have to do both simonim. So asked the Gemara, v'chima acha, the nafkalam umolak v'hikter. Once we learned that you have to completely sever v'krivoy, that we learned that the halacha of the chatas oif and oilas oif are different, it's most obvious, asked the Gemara Lomeli, what is the purpose? What did we learn from that pasuk? Answers the Gemara, ila v'kriva, if not for the word v'kriva, I have a mina we might have thought, my kamishpat, what does the Torah mean when it says kamishpat but oilas oif? That it means kamishpat chatas oif. It's treated like the chatas oif. And just like by the chatas oif, you don't completely separate the head, so too, by cutting two simonim, so too by the oil of oif. I. You can never say that, suggests the Gemara, because the Torah already says, Mishum Moloch v'Hikter, and that from here we learned that you have to completely sever it. Havamina, we would maybe say that what the Torah means with that pasuk is Ma'ak Tar Baroshe Mizbeach, just like the Torah of the Eilos Oif is done on the top of Mizbeach, Af Malika should be done Baroshe Shem Mizbeach. That's what the Torah is coming to teach us. But the halacha that they're so very different, we don't know yet. The hashtag the kosrach mana v'krivay. Now that we learned from the word akrivay that the way the chatas oif is done and the way the oilas oif is done is so very different, says the Gemara. So what do we use the word kamishpah by? Dresh by namiha, that we learn from here the halacha that we have to completely cut the simonim of the oilas oif just like we do by chatas behema. Ask the Gemara. We said before that the first opinion was that the word kemishpat means to teach us that the halacha of the oilas oif is like the chatas behema. Chatas behema the enabar element of chulim. But ask the Gemara, the halacha of the chatas behema only comes from chulim and nolan. Answers the Gemara Amar, because of the Amar Kra, the kriva para chatas ashaloi. So the person, the Torah says, by the power that Kohen Gadol brings on Yom Kippur, the Torah says the word Shaloi, Shaloi, V'loi Shel Tzibur. We learn from here that it has to be something that belongs, the money has to belong to him. V'loi Shel Meiser. The money that he has, Meiser Sheni money, that he has in his possession, cannot be used to buy, cannot be used for that money. The question, of course, is, that we're learning two halachas from here. Loi mishaloi, v'loi mishatzibur. How can we learn the loi mishamais, v'loi mishatzibur? Says the Gemara that this only is a valid, says Rashi in the Tori Evan, this is only going to be acceptable, that it's, Rashi says it's even acceptable according to the mandam, the mais, samam, and hejit. The Torah is saying that you have to use your own money, and not any other type of money. So certainly, if mice, as we discuss often, there's a question, if mice is shiny money, is considered my mum and gavaya, mum and hedget. So certainly, according to the opinion that it's mum and gavaya, you can't use it for this purpose, because it's not your money. But what we're learning from here is that even if it's mum and hedget, the Torah has a special rule that it has to be used, that you could only use chulim money. Taisus makes a very interesting point. Even if we'll say the meiser is mamon hejit, the halacha is that you certainly cannot use that money for the power of Yom Kippur. Because meiser sheni money has to be used to buy food that you could eat. And the power of Yom Kippurim is not eaten. So therefore, tells Taisvis that the Pasuk is not really focusing on the power of Yom Kippur. The Pasuk is focusing on other Karban Chatas, and the Torah HaKadosh is teaching us that we can't bring a Karban Chatas for Maisi Sheni money. The Tzvas Emes and the Bris Gerov says the Gemara that says that, yes, we're learning to exclude the power of Yom Kippur, because we might have thought that you're not supposed to use Maaser Sheni money for that purpose, but if you did, it would not disqualify the carbon. The Pasuk's teaching us that not only shouldn't you do it, but if you did it, it's completely disqualified. The Gemara said that we also learned from Oilus Oif, we also learned the halacha of Oilus Oif from Chatzis Behema, that the carbon can only be brought by day. Ask the Gemara, B'yoyim, the halacha that it could only be brought by day, b'yoyim tzavaysay, the pasuk says, b'yoyim tzavaysay es b'nei Yisrael l'akrivs kavaneyem, nafka, that's how we learn that all kabanas should be brought only by day, says the Gemara, indeed, k'dei naspa. It's not really the purpose to be taught, because that's something that we know previously. So there's a very interesting story that the Or Sameach, that happened to the Or Sameach. He said that he was once sleeping, taking a nap, and he saw that from Shemayim, that they saw that from Shemayim, there was a discussion in the Yeshiva Shemala that there's nobody in the world that really knows how to answer a certain question. And the Rashba said there's a Talmud Chacham who's in the Vinsk, that's where the Or Sameach was the Rav, and he knows the emes, he knows what's the truth, how to say the a true pshat, and he said he does it even better than I. He says the Gemara asked that how do we know this halacha from the halacha of B'yayim Tzavaisai. So why do we need this limud? So the Gemara said, there's a girsa, which we don't say, that hari milichatas oif, that a chatas oif can't be brought by day. Aval oilas oif, but the oilas oif maybe can be brought by night, kamash malan. And the Rashba says, and in our Gemara, in fact, we don't have this girsa, the Rashba says that this girsa is incorrect. Because why would we think that an oil soif should be different than a chata soif? And that's why he took, as we have in our Gemara, taken out from the Gemara. Ramei Simcha said that there's Evan Ezra, which we've quoted previously in our Shiurim, that answers this question. The question that we've asked, that the Evan Ezra asked, is that if somebody does the Averis, for which a common oil of a yoyer is brought, if he does the Avera and he can afford to buy an animal, he brings one kamachatis. But if he can't afford the animal, Tarek Dosha says he should bring two animals, one as a chatisoif and one as an oilosoif. And the question is quite obvious. Why does he bring two kabanas, one as a chatisoif and one as an oilosoif, when if he would have only brought an animal, he would have brought a kamachatis? And the answer, says the Evan Ezra, is because if you bring a chatisoif, the halacha is there's nothing put on the Mizbeach. And we want to have something from the carbon put on the Mizbeach. So that's what the Torah says, besides bringing the Chatasoif, also bring the Oilasoif, and that will be the corresponding Avodah of the Emurin of the Chatasoif, of the Chatas Behemah that you would have brought if you could have so afforded. So it turns out that the purpose of bringing the Oilasoif is to have Emurin that we could put on the Mizbeach. Now, the halacha, he says, is that Emurim, even though a carbon cannot be brought by night, the Emurim, we know, are brought by night. Since the Emurim are brought by night, we can now understand, explained the Or Sameach, that we would think, that's the Girsa of the Gemara, since the only purpose of bringing the Oilas Oif is that we should have Emurim, maybe, that we bring at night, and so too will be the halacha by this oilosoif. That's why the Torah has to teach us that even this oilosoif should only be brought by day and not by night. And the Rashba said in the Yeshiva Shamala, when they heard this explanation from the Or Sameach, they said, we now see that in this world, in the Olam Hazeh, we're still learning Torah, and we're learning Torah and getting the proper pshat. We're learning Torah l'shma, says the Gemara. The next thing that Gemara suggested, is that we should learn that we should learn the oil soif from the chatz behema that it should only be done by yad hayaminis. Ask the Gemara. This is already taught from Rabbi Abba Chana Nafka. Dam Rabbi Abba Chana Amram Shimon Lokesh. Kol makom shenema etzbay kuhuna. Wherever the Torah used the word etzbay kuhuna, it means yamin. So why do we need a special limud? The Torah says v'krivay hakayin. So we know it has to be with the right hand. V'idach answers the Gemara kuhuna by etzba. If the Torah says the word kuhuna alone, it is an indication that you have to use the right hand. Etzba by kuhuna. If the Torah uses the word etzba, even if the Torah doesn't use the word kuhuna, there we can learn that it could be, it means the right hand. And here, since by the oil saif, the Torah only uses the word koina, not etzba, we need a limud that it has to be with the right hand. And the Gemara and that Tana is suggesting we're learning it from Chatas Behema. The Tana Kama or Elazar Rav Shimon. But ask them why the Tana Kama, Rav Elazar, and Rav Elazar Rav Shimon don't use it that way. Tana Kama said that we don't use this pasuk for this purpose. So the halacha is that we do oil saif mimul ha'amra. Mimul ha'arif, as we started the sugya, only can be done at the back of the neck. The bottom of the back of the head. How do we know this? Answers the Gemara. The Torah learns Malika Mimalika. The Torah says by Chatas Oif and by Oil Oif Malika. And as we began the Sugya, we know that Chatas Oif only has Malika and the Malika is Dami Mola Oirif. So we learn from there that so too is the Halacha by Oil Oif that Malika is conducted and the Malika is done Mimola Oirif. The Mishnah that we just finished learning discussed how certain things are kosher b'shchita and possible b'malika and vice versa. Because the Mishnah began with such a style that it's kosher here but not kosher there, the Mishnah continues to bring examples of situations of contrasting where something is acceptable in one case and not acceptable in another case. And says the Mishnah, that Torah, when it speaks about birds being brought as a carbon, the only birds that could be brought as a carbon are tyrim, are doves, and b'nei yoina, and pigeons. Says the Mishnah, kosher b'tyrim, what the kind of bird that's kosher by a dove, which means that it's only kosher, as we're going to be learning, when it's mature, possible b'nei yoina. B'nei yoina are only acceptable when they're young. And kosher b'nei yoina, and what could be used as for a pigeon, which means that the only good they could only be used when they're young. The halacha will be possible tyrant when they're young. They cannot be used as tyrant. So what the Gemara, where we're going to learn. Is the Gemara is going to give us psukim, as we're going to be learning in Mitzvah Shem, why this is the halacha. But the Rishayim try to find a reason why do we have this rule, that by Tyrim it has to be adults, and by Bnei Yoina it has to be only young birds. The Rambam says that this is the best animal. What is he says that a pigeon is good when it's young and a dove is good when it's old. The Ramban asks on that and he says that there's a difference between the tyrim and the b'nei yoina. The tyrim are very interesting. If they connect, a male and a female connect, they'll never separate. And if their mate is lost, they will not connect to another bird, which is representative of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu under all circumstances. On the other hand, the Yoinim are very fierce birds. So once they become mature, they become very fierce. And since that since they're very fierce, we wait only when they're young and they're not so strong that we could take them. Once they get too old, once they get older, they're too fierce. So the Baal HaTurim quotes this pshat, and he says that we speak about the tyrant because if it loses its mate, it will never get another mate. So the Sefer Shuki Chemet quotes the Yalas Ashecha, that from here we should see that Tzar Baal Chaim is Osam Midaraisa. The Torah wants us to be concerned about the Tar that loses its wife and loses its mate, and that's something that we should be concerned. So isn't this a proof that Tzar Baal Chaim is Daraisa? So he goes into a serious discussion. He says that whether Tzah Ba'al Chaim is the rice or not, which is a big machloikus, everybody would agree, he suggests, that we have to act with mercy. And therefore, in a case where we have a choice to act with mercy, that's what we have to do. And that's why, even though it isn't a compelling proof if Tzah Ba'al Chaim is the rice or not, it's certainly a proof that we have Virachma Bakalmasov, that we have to have Rachmanis on these birds. Continues the Gemara. Now, when you have Tchilas Tziyuv, when these birds develop a gold feathers as well, around their neck, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara, Bezeh u'Bezeh, both when we speak about the Torim and both when we speak about the Bnei Yoina, at that point, the Pasul Karban, because at that point, they're not Ketanim anymore, nor are they Gedolim. And since they're not Ketanim or Gedolim, it's inappropriate to use them for a carbon, as the Gemara will explain. Begins the Gemara Tanar Abana Tairim, when we speak about the Tairim, the doves, Gedolim Ksherim, when they're mature, the Kosher, but when they're Ketanim, the Psulim, they should not be used for a carbon. When we speak about the Bnei Yoina, says the Gemara, the halach is just the opposite. When we speak about the yoinim, ketanim ksherim, when they're young and small, they're kosher, gedolim psulim. Says the Gemara, nimtza kosher b'tayrim, possible b'nei yoina. What is a qualified bird by tayrim is not by b'nei yoina. And kosher b'nei yoina, what's qualified by b'nei yoina, is possible b'tayrim, is disqualified by the tayrim. Tara Abonim, says the Gemara, the Brisa teaches us, we learn from the word tayrim, Gedolim, only where they're adult, the like tanim, and not when they're young. The Brisa teaches us that Rashi explains the Brisa, that this is the definition of the word, of the words. Tyron, by definition, means an adult, and Bnei Yoina means a ketanim, that they're not, that they're young. So if that's the case, and that's the definition of the word, so we have an obvious question. If that's the case, and that's the definition of the world, of the word, so then why do we have to have a limud? It's obvious. We're just talking about the definition of the word. So explain to Rishonim, if we were just relying on the definition of the word, then we would have a concern that b'di'evid, maybe if you didn't follow what the Torah tells us to do, it should be kosher. So that's why the Brice has to tell us that it's not just l'chatchila, it's even the b'di'evid, says the Gemara. But we can maybe make a counter argument. Shiyachov alaydinhu. Why can we make the following kavachaymer? And there's a very big machalikus rishonim and how to understand the question that the Gemara is going to ask. Some explain that the Gemara's question is only b'di'evid. The b'di'evid, the halacha should be that this is acceptable, but not was there ever a havamina that it's l'chatchila acceptable that way. But there's some rishonim that explain, I think that's what Rashi means to say, that even b'di'evid, the halacha should be that it's kosher. And the reason is because if we're going to use this kavachaymer, the kavachaymer should teach us completely, the kavachaymer should be able to teach us completely that this is acceptable, says the Gemara. And what would be the kavachaymer? If we speak about the b'nei yoina, shloi hukshu b'gedoylim, cannot be brought when they're gedoylim. Hukshu b'ketanim, can be brought when they're young. So tayrim, the tayrim that are acceptable when they're gedolim, ain't it then shochshu b'ketanim? They certainly should be acceptable with the ketanim. Tamloim with tayrim, the Torah uses the word tayrim, and we learn from the word tayrim. From here, we learned that gedolim v'lo ketanim says that only gedolim can be used. And now says the Gemara in the opposite direction. Bnei yoina, that when we speak about the Bnei Yoina, the halacha is ketanim v'loy gedolim. Says the Gemara, why? What is the point of the pasuk? Isn't that pashup shat? Shiach v'loy dinhu. Again, says the Gemara, we might have been able to make a kavah chaymer. On my time, shluch shebiktarim. If ketarim cannot be brought when they're young, huch shebiktarim may be brought when they're old. Bnei Yoina shuch shebiktanim. Bnei Yoina that could be brought when they're ketanim. Ain't a din. Certainly, the halacha should be. They can be brought when the gedolim tamalima b'nayoyna, and we learn from here strictly gedtana v'loy gedolim. Says the Gemara. So we're saying that the reason these kavachaymers are refuted is based on a pasuk, and the Gemara's question is: how do these psukim teach us this lesson? My Talmuda, how do these psukim teach us this lesson? Says the Gemara. Amar Rava. Says Rava, because it's very interesting. Whenever the Torah mentions the word B'nai Yoina, the Torah is very careful to use the word B'nai Yoina, and never does the use just the word Yoina. He says the Torah is so precise that whenever it speaks about the Yoina, it calls it B'nai Yoina. And whenever it speaks about the Torah, it calls it Torim, it must be to teach us that this is the only acceptable way. Says the Gemara, Ema, that indeed, when the Torah uses the word B'nai Yoina, it's a proof that the Torah, the Kasba Rachmana, that the Torah, by using the word B'nai, is coming to teach us, K'tanim Im, G'dayim Lai. Only young B'nai Yoina are acceptable, G'dayim not. But maybe when the Torah says the word Torim, and doesn't say B'nai, or it doesn't say young or old, it just says the word Torim, maybe what the Torim means to teach us, if you want, you could bring adult Torim, you could be Ketanim. Answers the Gemara, the Torah always speaks about Torim and B'nai Yoina together. The fact that the Torah always speaks about the Torim and the B'nai Yoina together, what is the Torah come to teach us? Ma b'nei yoina. Just like when we speak about the b'nei yoina, not all b'nei yoina may be used. We only could use b'nei yoina that are ketanim in gedolim loy. So the Torah is trying to teach us that the same, if we're speaking about the Torah, the same should be the same, that the halacha is that only gedolim, not all Torah are acceptable, only gedolim are acceptable, Ketanim loy. The Noam Elimelech, in explaining this Gemara, explains that Chazal teach us that Klal Yisrael is compared to the Yoina. What makes the Yoina special? My Yoina in a mechlefes as Ben Zoga. The Ben Yoina remains faithful to its Bazog. Kach Yisrael ein mechlif melekeim. We're constantly connected to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That, and he explains that we know Chazal teach us regarding Shabbos, Zocher v'sheba shama b'dibra echad. What does it mean? That the Zocher, which means the mitzvah sasei, the shamer and the mitzvah sloy sasei, we are connected to all of those mitzvahs because b'dibra echad, they were said by Kadosh Baruch Hu, who is the echad, and the echad is the one, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like the Yoin is devoted to its mate. And that's why the Pasuk calls, he says, Yoina, Yoina HaNovi, that we read Mafta Yoina every year on Yom Kippur, Yoina Amiti. Why was he called Yoina Amiti? He was emes. He was honest in a special connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why when he felt that he can't except do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted with him talking to Nineveh, and was concerned that that would be, if they did tshuva, and Klal Yisrael didn't do tshuva, it would be a reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be angry with Klal Yisrael. So what was Yoina, and that what does his name represent, was that he was connected, he was emes, he was like the Yoina, completely connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he did not want to hear a Nevuah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a Nevuah that he knew could cause problems for Klal Yisrael. So he ran away. He went to a place where there won't be that special connection between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he should not have to have that devotion that could cause problems for Klal Yisrael. The Torah, he says, is referring to the tzaddikim. The tzaddikim are supposed to be adults. In other words, what he says, what the Torah represents a tzaddik, and the tzaddik understands that his life is supposed to be devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that as he grows older, he has to grow in his avodas Hashem. So that's why the Torah is telling us, the Torah, you want to use adults, you have to make sure that there are Klal Yisrael, has people who are like the Torah, that as they get older, they remain completely, they remain the tzaddikim on whom we rely. So we learned in the Mishnah, Tchilas Hatziyuf, and the Gemara is going to identify what that means. The Tchilas Hatziyuf at that point is a disqualification by both of these types of birds. So says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Yochol Yekol HaTorim, V'kol B'nei Yoina, if a Tor is no longer a cotton, and a B'nei Yoina is not yet a Godel, they should be kosher for a carbon. The Mepharshim explain that the Gemara doesn't mean to say that they could be kosher l'chatchila. That what the Gemara means to say is that we should, that maybe b'di'evitz okay, because what the Torah doesn't mean to say that they have to be dafka k'doylim, or they have to be ketanim. When the Torah wants ketanim, it means as long as they're not gedolim. And when the Torah wants gedolim, what the Torah wants is that they're not ketanim. And therefore, when they're in this state, they're not ketanim or gedolim, and therefore they can be used. So therefore, yachal kol ha-torim, kol b'nei yoyin ha-ksherim, tamalayim of the pasuk says, v'ikrav min ha-torim, v'loy kol ha-torim. And the same the Torah says by the b'nei yoyin. Torah uses the words min b'nei yoyinah, v'loy kol b'nei yoyinah. Some, not all. Prat l'tchil satziuf, when they start getting this golden feathers around the neck, shebzeh b'zeh, both when we speak about the Torah and when we speak about the b'nei yoyinah, the halacha is that they cannot be used. Name is Torah k'sherim. So at what point, asked the Gemara, are the Torah considered adults? And once they're adults, they can be used, as we've been learning. Misha Zivu, as the feathers around the neck, around the body, start turning into a golden shade. Once they begin have that golden shade, that's when they're considered gedolim. The Tosefta, however, says, the Ketayrim Akasha Mashiach Fichu, from they went, they could fly. And the Chazon Yecheskel quotes the Yad Ramah that says that the two shurim that we're learning, the shear that their feathers all around the body become gold, and the shear that they learn how to fly is the same same time. Furthermore, the Tosefta says that a tar, once it becomes an adult and can be used, it remains kosher forever. The halacha, even though, again, the Chazon Yecheskel connects this to a Gemara we're going to be learning, that we learned, we're going to be learning. The Torah is very careful when it talks about the animals that a balmum of an animal doesn't becomes possible, can't be used as a carbon. But the halacha, as we learned and will learn, is that that doesn't apply for a bird. And therefore, the Tosefta says that the halacha is that the Torah, once they become able to be used for carbon, remain that way for the rest of their life. Says the Gemara, Ma'emes Abnei Yoina Psulim, as we've been discussing, Abnei Yoina is only kosher from when they're young. At what point are they considered old that they become disqualified? Says the Gemara Mishiyat Sivu, again, from when they start turning this gold color, that's when they become disqualified. Says the Maratani Yaakov Karcha Memesa B'nei Yoinik Sherim. In other words, the way Rashi explains, there's no question, Rashi says, that the day they're born, we cannot bring them as a carbon. By an animal, the Torah says, Shorai Kesef Ki Yivoleid, V'hoye Shivas Yomim Tachas Imoi, U'miyayim Hashmin V'hoa Yirotzul Karbon Il Hashem. A carbon cannot be brought, an animal cannot be brought as a carbon until 7 days from when it was born. It's only after 7 days from it's born. But regarding the carbon oif, the Torah doesn't tell us what is the halacha when it can be brought. But what we're learning from here is that there is no question, says Rashi, that what the day it's born, it's possible. And the way the Rishonim explain, the way the Mefarshim explain Rashi's pshat, because even though the halacha is that a bird that's about mum may be a bird that's about mum may be used as a carbon, we learned and we will learn that a bird that's a mechusar aver that's missing a limb cannot be brought. And why is that different? Explain all the mefarshim. Why is that any different from a balmum? That we can't bring a balmum and we can't bring a mechusar aver. For as we've discussed, the pasuk says, "Hakriven ol fuchasecha." Would you bring such a creature to avoid the zoro? So we learn from here that there's a separate concept. There's one concept of balmum, which the Torah teaches us is only applicable by animal, only applicable by animals, not applicable by birds. But this concept that something which is not nice should not be brought as a carbon, there we don't differentiate between birds and animals. And therefore, the same thing, the bird, the day it's born, is something which is unappealing and should not be used as a carbon. The question now is, at what point can it be used? Mishialu. So the Gemara says, from the point of Shialu, says the Gemara, Hu Tanila, Hu Amala, this is what he learned from his Rebbe, that's the point of Yala, and now he needs to explain what does that mean. Says the Gemara, the Pasuk says, V'ferche yulau dam. So what that means, according to Rashi, it means that when, at the point that the blood, the circulation in the body begins to work. And once that begins, that's the point when you can bring it as a carbon. How do we know, says the Evan Ezra? He says, the point is that if we'll pull out, some say a feather, and some say a wing, the bird will be bleeding. And says the Gemara, Amos Amabai Mishem Gatfamine, when we pull out the feather or the wing, Asadama, it begins to bleed. Once it's that point, then at that point, the bird is considered, even though it's a young bird, it's considered old enough that it could be able to be used, that it could be considered a carbon. This is the way Rashi explains the Gemara. Who others explain? Tosfos says that what Yaludam means from when it starts forming feathers around the whole body. So here we see that the bird, as soon as it's born, does not yet have all of its feathers, doesn't have the circulation. And the Shulchan Aruch says that the halach is, this is in Siman Ayin Vav, Sif Aleph, Afreich Shloyotz La'avir Olam, if the bird was not yet hatched, Os Bechila. However, Mishyotz La'avir Olam, Mut Bechila B'yad. Once it's hatched, it can be eaten immediately. That is the opinion of Shulchan Aruch, because what we're learning in our Gemara is that the halacha of the animal, of the bird forming, whatever the circulation or the feathers, is only a halacha regarding kachim, but it's not a halacha regarding all other birds. However, There are many achronim. The Taz is one of them. Says that even birds, at least ach yifchasu inayim, until they open their eyes, should not be eaten. He says until a bird opens up its eyes, it's not considered a bird. It's still considered a sheretz. Other achronim say, as our Gemara just said, that you shouldn't use a bird until Mashiach Odam, whatever halacha is. The same halacha applies to birds. I saw that the Marsham says that a bird that doesn't have feathers should not be eaten. You have to wait to when it has birds, feathers. Clearly, the Paiskim say that that's only lechatchila. But if we have a situation that somebody needs to eat that type of a bird, then we're allowed to eat the bird. Although the Rasham has a discussion, maybe as we learned Pshat in the Gemara, a bird that young is in the category of Baal Teshaksu. It's something that's mius. And if it's something that's mius, we should avoid eating, maybe under all circumstances, but it seems the most achronim, and that's clearly the opinion of Shulchan Aruch, that certainly in a situation where one needs to eat that bird, and that's the type of bird that he needs to eat for whatever health purposes, etc., it may be eaten under those circumstances.